This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about cheesecake, carrot cake, coconut base slice.
By which you mean carrot cake.
Yes.
We're talking about carrot cake.
Well, that was a little scavenger hunt for the listeners. They had to find out, like, what in that string of nonsense that we said is the actual topic. And if you found it, you win a prize, which is you have to listen to the rest of this episode. Yeah.
No, the reason that we were saying this string of nonsensical words is Matthew has purchased two versions of carrot cake for us to taste today from Safeway, and one of them is just called carrot cake slice.
Yep.
You can, you know, imagine it.
We'll also tell you about it. You don't have
to. But the other is called cheesecake, carrot cake, chuckanut bay slice.
So one of these is clearly pitched as like a premium item because it's smaller and more expensive. Mm-hmm. And then one is like a big square hunk with a frosting carrot on top.
Yeah.
I think we should start by just digging into these.
I think we should, too.
Because I don't want to sit in front of cake and not eat it.
And I want to say, too, that this episode was suggested by listener Jennifer. And
yeah, thank
I'm
you, listener
really
Jennifer.
Grateful to you, listener Jennifer.
Okay. I think I'm also going to start with the classic.
No complaints.
No, it's good.
I just want to say, I do think that the carrot cake here has pretty intense spicing. I mean,
yes.
Like heading in the territory of gingerbread cake.
I think I just bit down on a raisin.
Yep, there's raisins in here.
Okay. Which I don't hate, but is not my preference.
Sure.
We'll get to this.
Okay. What about the cheesecake, carrot cake, chucking up bay slice?
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, I'm curious if we're gonna think this is better or just different.
Well, so this,
or worse.
This is like a layered concoction that seems to have maybe like a graham cracker crust on the bottom, cheesecake, carrot cake, cream cheese frosting.
This is not as good, I don't think.
This is confused. I don't really taste either the carrot cake or the cheesecake.
Yeah, I don't taste much of anything. I was so excited for this one, and I thought the other one was going to be blah, but the basic one is much better. Fascinating. Yeah, no, I'm totally down with this. No, this basic Safeway square carrot cake slice was $4 for 7 ounces of cake.
This is pretty great.
This is great.
I'm here for it. So producer Abby would like us to announce right at the top of the show that she does not agree with carrot cake as a concept because she believes vegetables do not belong in cake.
I feel like this is like a doctrinal issue.
I think that she, however, might still like this cake if we fed it to her
blindfolded. Yeah.
Because this, I can hardly even find a single carrot in this cake.
it does seem like a spice cake with a cream cheese frosting. But honestly, like, well, we'll talk about this. Like, I don't feel like I've ever gotten like big carrot flavor from a carrot cake.
No, but you can usually see carrots.
That's true. You can see like little shreddies, right?
Right. Anyway, Hot Pots, that's husband of the producer of the show. That's Abby's husband, Brandon, not to be confused with my ex-husband, Brandon.
No, he legally changed his name to Hot Pots.
He loves carrot cake. So, you know, I think we should dedicate this episode to Brandon. Because, you know, he's probably pretty carrot cake deprived. in his marriage.
Okay. Maybe, like, we can give him this half-eaten piece of cheesecake, carrot cake, chuckanut nut, bay slice that we didn't like.
Okay.
It's his birthday.
All right. Matthew, is there carrot cake on your memory lane?
A little bit. This is just kind of like a type of cake that I would run into as a kid that I didn't have strong feelings about one way or the other. However, early on, I formed the opinion that cream cheese frosting is the best kind of frosting. And so that's where you find it most often like classic American cakes. And so I did look forward to it for that reason because I knew there would be a bunch of cream cheese frosting.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say that when I was a kid, I always thought of carrot cake as my mom's favorite type of cake. But then, like, almost as soon as I started to form that sentence, I realized that my mom's favorite cake when I was a kid was Italian cream cake.
I have one question. What the hell is that?
I'm not sure, but it was like a white cake or a kind of a beige cake with white frosting. Maybe it had a cream cheese frosting. I'm not sure. But anyway, carrot cake for me, like you, was just something that was out there and it was fine.
I want to know more about this Italian cream cake. Okay. I may need to text your mom.
I'm going to look it up.
I also like the idea that, like, you go down the like cake mix aisle and there's, like, you know, white cake, yellow cake, beige cake.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Italian cream cake.
It's real?
It's real.
Okay.
It's real. Okay. Southern Living.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anybody
so it's not Italian,
describe
probably.
This? I don't think it's Italian. Oh, well, but here's a recipe. Whatever.
Okay, forget.
It's a three-tiered cake that has shredded coconut and toasted pecans.
Sounds.
And a cream cheese frosting. This does not sound Italian. I don't understand.
Well, but there's a lot of foods that are called, like, you know,
Italian creams, Italian ice.
Italian ice. But that I think that is associated with Italian Americans. But like French fries are really from Belgium. That's all I got.
Okay.
Would you like to know about the history of carrot cake?
Would I ever?
Well, so would I, but it's kind of foggy. However, I did run into, like, you know, my most favorite thing that we discover on Memory Lane or on our history segment is corporate history. Mm. My second favorite thing is old-timey medieval European food stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because this one gets pretty wacky.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I see here the first thing you've said is that carrot cake is sometimes called passion cake.
Oh, okay. So this Wikipedia told me that carrot cake is sometimes called passion cake. I didn't believe it, so I Googled it. Then I had to turn safe search on. then I found that Nigella Lawson, celebrity crush of the show, Seacott's, Nigella Lawson, has a recipe for, quote, my mother's passion cake, which is a name that totally skeeves me out.
Okay. So we know, like, what slang you and Lori use now.
Passion cake.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Come on over for some passion cake.
Yes, yeah. come on over for some passion cake, and it's not from a box.
Good one.
That was so dumb.
No, but I don't know.
Okay, so Wikipedia goes on to say that, quote, the origins of carrot cake are disputed. Also, the oranges of carrot cake, because carrots are orange. So here we go. Quote, published in 1591, there is an English recipe for pudding in a carrot root that is essentially a carrot stuffed with meat, but it includes many elements common to the modern dessert. I knew you were going to love this as much as I did. Shortening, cream, eggs, raisins, sweetener, dates and sugar, spices, clove and mace, scraped carrot, and breadcrumbs in place of flour.
What? So it's basically like, you know, if we're thinking of like stuffed zucchini or like stuffed peppers or like stuffed mushrooms, mm-hmm. right? Okay, but this is a stuffed carrot, but it has a lot in common with carrot cake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is the thing that I associate with like, you know, Renaissance, medieval European cooking is that like everything is ridiculously sweet and savory at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that 1591 recipe for putting in a carrot root is...
So wait, it's like a mincemeat pudding.
It's like a mincemeat pudding.
Got it. Okay.
It's from a book called A Book of Cookery, Very Necessary for All Such as Delight Therein.
Oh, so you'll enjoy it if you enjoy it.
Yep. And
you'll find it necessary if you find it necessary.
But as far as I can tell, food historians do believe that modern carrot cakes are a descendant of this sort of concoction.
Wow. How big do you think a carrot would have to be
stuffed with
mince pudding?
Like when, you know, in Japan, the carrots they sell in the supermarket are pretty honking. But even then, like to hollow it out and stuff it with meat and 17 kinds of like creams and unguents, like and raisins and stuff, like there's not going to be a lot of room in there.
No, no.
Do you think they had to like bore it out with like a Dremel?
Yeah, probably. I've just been reading a book where I've been reading The Vaster Wilds by Lauren Groff.
Okay.
And so far in it, I mean, I can't decide how I feel about this book, but basically there's a young woman who is running away from a settlement in like American colonial times. She sleeps in a hollowed out tree a couple times, and it's not like a My Side of the Mountain kind of hollowed out tree.
Okay.
Remember that? Do you remember?
I vaguely do, yes.
No, this is like a rotting tree that she like scrapes out, I think, with an oyster shell or something, and then she sleeps in there. But do you think that
I would die the first night trying to survive in those that kind of conditions?
But I wonder, like, I'm kind of picturing, you know, maybe there were large carrots that you could really hollow out. Like she hollowed out the tree.
Like tree-sized carrots.
Yes.
Okay. This seems like a dream you would have, and then you like you'd go to your psychiatrist, they'd be like, I don't even need to tell you what this dream is about. Right.
Okay.
Anytime Lauren Groff, that's the author.
Lauren Groff, yeah.
Every time the author Lauren Groff comes up or I see one of her books, I think, oh, I once had lunch with her. Not true. I once had lunch with author Lauren Grodstein. Oh. But you can see how I would get confused.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, you know.
So that's my attempt at a celebrity name drop, a person I did not have lunch with.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, I'm just picturing, you know, I don't know. What do we use to hollow out our carrots for putting in a carrot root?
I'm assuming it's halved first, like how you would do like a stuffed pepper, right?
Sure.
And then probably scraped out with some sort of rasp.
Melon baller.
I was thinking that too. And I was like, they didn't have melon ballers back then. They only had rasps.
Rasps. Gosh, I love that you would say rasps.
I remember in middle school shop class learning the difference between a file and a rasp. I don't remember what it is now.
Doesn't a rasp have like sharp points that actively stick out? Like I'm thinking of the rasp side of the cheese grater.
Yeah, but like how do you know when to pull out a file versus a rasp? Obviously, if you're hollowing out a carrot, you go for the rasp.
But it's got to be like a small like cylindrical rasp.
But like this one, like I think
conical
like
rasp?
Yeah, conical rasp. That's like I bet if you read my favorite cookbook, A Book of Cookery, Very Necessary for All Such as Delight Therein. How do you know if you're going to delight therein until you've read the cookbook? But I'm sure he calls for a conical rasp.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are Swiss and French carrot cake recipes dating to the early 19th century, but they are not the same thing that we're eating now that we got from Safeway because they would get theirs at Picard Le Cerchelet. Because they didn't use chemical leavening for these cakes, and they didn't have cream cheese frosting. So we are just talking about a different dessert.
These sound like the kind of mixtures is what I called them. These things that I was allowed to go into the kitchen and just sort of play at mixing stuff up. And I was always mixing up things that I called cakes, but that had no leavening in them and would therefore come out like a leaden pancake.
Oh, but you did bake them?
Yeah.
And you did delight therein?
And they were necessary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very necessary.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I found this recipe, credit to, quote, unknown ladies cookbook.
Wow.
And I was told that it's dated somewhere between 1690 and 1830, which seemed like a very wide range.
I'm counting 140 years in there.
And I also don't know whether the title of the cookbook was Unknown Ladies Cookbook, which would be the greatest thing ever, or if it just like was a ladies cookbook. But why would, like, what made something a ladies cookbook?
Well, I mean, what would a man's cookbook be?
It like would probably beer canned chicken and shit?
Yeah. Or like how to spit roast your boar.
Yeah. But it was, but back then it was spelled beer, B-E-E-R-E, can with like three N's. Okay. Here's the recipe from Unknown Lady's Cookbook. Okay. To make puddings of carrots.
First, rhymes with Harriet. Yep. Go ahead.
First, cut the roots hollow as children scoop apples. That's scoop, S-C-O-O-P-E, apples, A-P-P-E-L-S. I know it's not inherently funny that that things used to be spelled differently,
it's
but it's
really
pretty fucking funny.
Okay.
Okay. Take out all the pale yellow. Take grated bread.
G-R-E-A-T-E-D. Mm-hmm.
Four eggs. Beat them well. Some pounded cinnamon. Sugar to your taste, some currants, mix all together. Stuff your carrots. Put in the piece you cut off the top again. Boil them in claret and strong gravy. Last night I went around saying strong gravy like 100 times.
Okay, go ahead.
Strong gravy and a little sugar, a stick of cinnamon. When they are boiled, thicken your sauce with the whites and yolks of 2 eggs. So serve them. If for a change, you may boil them in water and nothing else. Serve them in butter, sack, and sugar for sauce. Sack is back.
Didn't we have sack last week?
We had sack last week. Be sure to serve them hot. This is the first course.
God, what are the courses going to be later?
I don't know, but I guarantee it's a thing you cut open and stuffed and then put back together, because that's all they ate back then, apparently.
I wonder what you do with the pale yellow.
I don't know. I'm sure you wouldn't waste it.
No.
It's a little treat for the cook to eat in the kitchen.
With the clariot and strong
the
gravy.
Clariot and strong gravy. I want to form like an electronic duo that's called Clariot and Strong Gravy. Like, would Strong Gravy be like a SoundCloud rapper? I Strong Gravy is the best thing I've ever heard, except for Unknown Lady's Cookbook.
I also am just, I love seeing the first sentence just written out again. Yes. The way that a scoop and apples.
Scoop apples.
Scoop apples.
I went into this thinking like, I can't believe I have to research carrot cake. This is going to be so boring.
No, like, not so.
My sense of wonder has been reawakened.
Oh, good, good.
Okay, so modern American carrot cake is from the 1960s. It's okay. Like associated with, like, you know, when everyone had, like, you know, started to have baking powder and baking soda in their kitchen. And
I wonder where people got the idea, though, to put grated carrot in a cake.
So it does seem like so carrot has been like known as a like refined sugar substitute for a long time, since like, you know, it has been used as a sweetener since before refined sugar was a thing. And so it seems like, you know, that it went from Renaissance, like, you know, stuff your carrots recipes to early, you know, very dense, like French and English puddings sweetened with carrots, to then like that tradition continuing, like, as, you know, chemically leavened American cakes came on the scene.
Okay. Wow. Sound like you know what you're talking about.
I'm making this up as I go.
Okay.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on MasterClass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to do to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about, like, the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating, even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, Masterclass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, you go to Masterclass. You can learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on Masterclass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to Masterclass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
What is the carrot cake we know and love?
Yes. So it's a spice cake made with grated carrots or carrots and layered or topped with cream cheese frosting. It unfortunately does not contain strong gravy.
Oh, no.
But mix-ins are common. So as you may know, Molly, the conceit of this show is we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today, not even I can have any.
Yes. I mean, this Safeway carrot cake, pretty good. Yesterday, wife of the show, Lori Watzel, and I went to Bakery Nouveau, a nice little neighborhood bakery in Seattle, and got their carrot cake, which was very tasty. Theirs has chopped dates in the batter, which is apparently a very ancient ingredient in carrot cakes and still fairly common. Mm-hmm. And it was real tasty.
Yeah. And I mean, other common ingredients include pineapple. Oh, another place in Seattle that has fantastic carrot cake. And maybe you wouldn't think of this, but a neighborhood restaurant in Wallingford called Union Saloon.
Okay.
Makes a fantastic carrot cake. It's a single layer carrot cake. It does have pineapple in it, as I recall. And it is fabulous.
So do you,
so good.
Do you like mix-ins in your carrot cake in general?
So I recently made a carrot cake that had pecans mixed into it. And I do like pecans. I don't care so much about raisins. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about the pineapple. Yeah.
Yeah. My feeling is none of these things are going to ruin it for me, but I prefer the smooth texture.
Okay. Okay. What about a carrot cupcake?
I like a carrot cupcake, especially because like a cupcake is very frosting focused.
Yes.
And I love that cream cheese frosting.
Yeah, totally. So I have been making, I had to look it up on my old blog, OrangeJet. I posted a carrot cake recipe on there in 2008.
It didn't even occur to me to look.
Well, that's fine. The recipe that I posted was from Bon Appetit. So technically, it's not my recipe. It's the Bon Appetit recipe from 1988. Not 1988, 2008. Wow, I am stroking. Wow, okay.
From 1588.
Okay. Now, you can find it on Epicurious or Bon Appetit if you want to see the original. It's also on my website. We will link to it. And it's really good.
Okay. What does it have? Is there any like signature ingredient, or is it just a very good basic recipe?
It's a really good basic recipe. It's got pecans in it. I think it has a really nicely balanced cream cheese frosting. It's supposed to make a three-layer cake, but I make it as cupcakes. Mm-hmm. And I have made it for the first birthdays of both of my children.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's delightful.
Yeah.
When I was about to ask you if you've ever made carrot cake, and I literally like saw your child eating a carrot cake that you made.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. When we're taping this, it's been like 10 days since we threw a birthday party for Ames.
And I was there.
And yeah, I felt like the cupcakes were okay. I made them ahead because I was going to be out of town the week before his birthday. I made them ahead, cooled them, and then froze them in Ziploc bags.
Oh, sure.
And then I frosted them when I got back with cream cheese frosting. I had a lot of trouble with lumps in my cream cheese frosting, which was pretty distressing.
Yeah, I'm just not the frosting maker in the house, so I don't have any advice.
I mean, I sifted my confectioner's sugar. I tried adding it slowly. I tried adding it all at once. It was very lumpy. So anyway, they were not my finest cupcakes, but they were really tasty.
Did Ames give them like 2.5 stars?
Ames is like still really not into food.
Yeah, that's fine.
Totally not into food. So he didn't even want to taste it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. So you have made a carrot cake. I have not, but I was looking, like, I was too lazy to make a carrot cake for this episode. I knew I was going to buy some, but I was, of course, looking to see what recipes we had in the house. Cook's Illustrated, Baking Illustrated has a good basic 9x13 pan recipe. I feel like I would trust Cook's Illustrated on this kind of thing.
I'm sure it's delicious.
In Yossi Areffi's Snacking Cakes, I think there are two carrot cake recipes in there, but the one I thought was most interesting was My Best Carrot Cake, which is not frosted, which I'm a little skeptical of, but it includes pecans both in the batter and on top, and includes chopped dates. And she recommends baking it in a cast iron skillet, which looks, it's a great presentation.
Wow. I like you. I'm feeling a little bit, I mean, it sounds really good. I like the idea of pecans and the chopped dates. Her recipes are always fantastic, but I still want frosting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that till I try it. Whatever. Have you ever made carrot cake from a box, like from a mix?
Not only have I not, I didn't know that existed, but it does. So I looked at, like, you know, Betty Crocker has, like, a carrot cake mix in a box. And I'm like, what is this stuff? Like, is there, like, grated carrot in the box? No. There is carrot-flavored pieces,
which
are made from corn syrup, flour, corn cereal, palm oil, artificial color, and carrot powder in that order. I still think it's probably good. Like, as long as the frosting is good, it's going to be a spice cake with frosting.
Sure. Sure.
I learned when I was Googling around, or actually Watzel found this, there was a Pepperidge Farm carrot cake soft cookie that got terrible reviews and was discontinued.
Ooh, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
That
sounds like it was really bad.
That sounds terrible. Whoa, Matthew, the final thing you've written on the agenda here, it also sounds awful. Go ahead.
Okay. There is a cocktail. I started punching carrot cake into Wikipedia, and it suggested, do you mean carrot cake or did you mean carrot cake cocktail? There is a cocktail that I would say is in the same category as, like, a Long Island iced tea, in the sense that, like, it's got a name that suggests that it tastes like a thing that is not one of the ingredients in the cocktail. So it is made from Bailey's Irish Cream, cinnamon schnapps, and Frangelico, and it's supposed to taste like carrot cake.
That is not for me.
Yeah.
But if you enjoy it, Godspeed.
I like a sweet cocktail much more than Molly does, but I'm going to skip this one also.
Woo! Okay. Wow, Matthew, carrot cake is so much more interesting than we could have possibly imagined.
Yeah, like we learned about strong gravy. Mm-hmm. We learned about strong grievances.
We learned about conical rasps.
Conical rasp, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I invented them.
You invented conical rasps and then wrote conical raps about them.
Mm-hmm.
And and we learned that do not spring for the premium carrot cake at Safeway, apparently, even though it's very fun to say. What was that called again?
Cheesecake carrot cake chucking up bay slice.
Cheesecake carrot cake chucking up bay slice. Don't buy that one.
Cheesecake carrot cake chucking up bay slice.
You can say it for free.
Oh, okay.
And that's all I got about carrot cake.
All right. Well, hey, Matthew, I've got some spilled mail.
I would love to hear it.
So this one comes from listener Liang, who says, "Hi, Molly and Matthew. Just listened to the Ferrero Rocher episode and really enjoyed it. The bit where Molly was talking about the pictures on Wikipedia of the naked wafer sphere."
Do you remember this?
I do.
Okay.
I do. "Reminded me of how I used to eat all Ferrero Rochers as a kid. First, painstakingly scrape off all the outside chocolate nut coating with my front teeth, carefully preserving the integrity of the wafer surface. Then, when it was clean, I'd crack the two hemispheres apart by lightly biting open and munching the half with less center filling and no nut first, and then savor the center goo and the part with the nut as the last bite."
Yeah, that sounds good.
This year, I bought a couple big trays of Ferrero Rocher to distribute for holiday gifts and have eaten a few along the way. And I found that the outside coating is so much harder to pick off cleanly than it used to be. I suspect the chocolate coating must be thinner or softer or something. It used to crack off the wafer so much easier. Relatedly, do you have any weird rituals?" Weird in parentheses. Do you have any weird rituals in how you eat certain candies or confections or foods? When I was a kid, I would eat all the less desirable parts of a dish or food and leave my favorite part to the end. So eat all the crust or edge off a piece of toast or Chinese egg tart, or so I could enjoy the center uninterrupted at the end.
Okay, well, first off, I got to thinking when she was like going into great detail about like how to dissect a Ferrero Rocher with your tongue. I feel like since we were just talking about like the Middle Ages, medieval times, the Renaissance, I think of all those things as the same thing, but they're probably not. That if you took some Ferrero Rochers back to medieval Europe in a time machine, I feel like they would be like, okay, yeah, we like these. Like, like this doesn't seem weird.
Yeah.
So I've got two, and they're both confection related, candy related. So I'm sure I've mentioned on the show before that one time I ripped open a Kit Kat and took a bite of it like across the sticks rather than breaking the sticks apart. And my family has never been more disappointed in me about anything. And so, of course, then I'm like, okay, cool. This is a way for me to get attention. I'm going to do this every time. Every time I open a Kit Kat when someone can see me, just to be a jerk. So that's very satisfying.
Yeah.
I never do it by myself.
Well, yeah, because when you're by yourself, why you know, do it the weird way when you can just eat it?
And when I was a kid, I really liked sucking all the coating off of M&Ms to the point where it started to like crackle apart. And then there's the soft, gooey chocolate that's melted from being in your mouth.
That feeling of it crackling apart.
Yes. And I don't always eat M&Ms that way anymore, but I sometimes do.
They do sort of abrade your tongue, though.
They sure do.
I was just telling June the other night, June and I went on a date, and part of what we did was we went to Ua Jamaya and we bought a bunch of candy.
Yes.
They had Sour Patch Kids Extreme in addition to like all the Japanese gummies and stuff that we bought. And anyway, so we got Sour Patch Kids Extreme, which are, oh my God, more sour than I remember.
Oh, nice.
But I was telling June as we were eating them that when Sour Patch Kids first came out, I remember going to the movie theater and basically eating Sour Patch Kids, a whole package of them, by, you know, sucking all the citric acid off of them first.
Yes.
Like, that was the way I initially approached Sour Patch Kids. That seemed like the way to do it.
I think that's pretty common.
I was always like, why does this hurt so much? And now I realize when I eat Sour Patch Kids, I never suck on them. Like, never.
I sometimes do a little bit.
You do?
Yeah. I don't then, like, take the naked Sour Patch Kid out of my mouth and, like, set it aside.
Oh, no. I never did that either. Okay. No. But I
think that is a thing. Like, I've mentioned before that my younger brothers used to get, like, bubble gum ice cream that had, like, chunks of gum in it, and they would, like, save the gum for the end.
I have
and like make a disgusting pile of like saliva marinated gum bits.
I always found bubblegum ice cream to be
a
really
it.
Weird concept. Okay, but hold on. I have a couple of things I used to do. So as a kid, I only liked what I called the crunchies in a salad bowl.
Oh, sure.
And this would be the lettuce ribs, right? Okay. As opposed to the leaves. So I remember my mom serving me salad and me being like, just the crunchies. And she, bless her heart, gave me like just the lettuce ribs.
I was just going to ask, is that what the phrase ribbed for her pleasure?
That's right.
So dumb.
And then the other thing, and this is kind of the opposite of wanting crunchies, is as a kid, whenever we had like really crusty bread, I would only eat the inside, of course, and then would give the crust to my mom, which I think is a classic kid thing to do. But as I was typing it up, I was like, oh, so weird. I wanted the crunchy part of the lettuce, but not the crunchy part of the bread.
So we could have created your perfect food by... I guess I'm imagining like a salad with like untoasted croutons.
Yum.
Yum. Okay, great question, listener Leon.
Yeah, thank you. Matthew, you've got a now but wow this week.
I sure do. This is a punk rock album called Post American by the band MS Paint. and it came out last year, but I only heard about it recently. This is one of the best punk rock records I have heard in many years, and I love punk rock. This is a band with no guitars. The bassist plays with lots of like fuzzy distortion, and then they have synths. It is super high energy. It sounds like everyone in the band is having a fantastic time. The lyrics are fun. They're catchy. They're a great balance of like hopeful and apocalyptic, which mm-hmm. is which I love in a mm-hmm. punk band. And the standout track for me is the title track, Post American, whose chorus goes, "Burn all the flags and the symbols of man," which I texted to Molly in all caps the mm-hmm. other day. Mm-hmm. The other day, I don't know exactly what it means to burn the symbols of man, but when you hear the song, you're like, yeah, we should do this for sure. Whatever it is, it is just like a fantastic rock and roll record. I got some cool dad points because I sent this song to ACOTS D, Adult Child of the Show, December, who said, "Well, I love this."
Oh, delightful.
So that is Post American by MS Paint.
Awesome. Our producer is Abby Circatella, who hates carrot cake.
And Molly has a newsletter called I've Got a Feeling. And it's all about how much Molly loves carrot cake. But it's it's about all kinds of great things. And it is available at mollyweisenberg.substack.com.
And Matthew makes music. Always the lyrics are about carrot cake.
Yes.
You can find him.
Burn all the cakes and the symbols of carryout.
His bands are called Early to the Airport and Twilight Diners. You can find them on Bandcamp, Spotify, all the usual places. Go listen to his stuff.
Yeah, when I was listening to that MS Paint album, I was like, oh man, I would love to sing a song like this, but if I did, I would sound like a baby having a tantrum. you can hang out with other babies who listen to Spilled Milk at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. For a change, you may boil us in water and nothing else.
Okay, so serve them.
So serve us. Serve us. I'm Matthew Hamster Burton.
I'm me. Matthew, I just did so much good vamping.
Yep. Okay. Let's have that be the episode.
Okay. Wait. Hold on. I need a fork. I don't want. I can't have a spoon for my carrot cake. This is an abomination. It's just. I'm not going to be able to cleanly get all the stuff off. Wait. Are we recording now?
We're recording now.
Oh, good. Cheesecake, carrot cake, chuckanut, bay slice.
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 You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.